Case of the day, Adams versus the City of Chicago. Mr. Flaxman.
Thank you. May it please the court, this is the second time that this case is here. The first time was an appeal from the denial of a preliminary injunction. In affirming that case, the court wrote that the likelihood of success presents a close question because of the political volatility of merit promotions. The court didn't reach the likelihood of success, finding that we hadn't shown irreparable harm. The question in the present appeal is whether the district judge was correct in granting summary judgment against the plaintiffs on the merit promotion question. We believe, and we argue in the brief, that there was a disputed, we presented a triable issue of fact about whether merit promotions on the 1994 sergeant's test would have been equally valid, less discriminatory alternative. The district judge said no, and we're here. The district judge concluded that we were on it. We had no evidence because he said, I'm not going to consider what happened in 1998 when the city actually used merit promotions to make non-discriminatory promotions to the position of sergeant. We pointed out that the city in 1998 relied upon a literature review, which is similar to the literature review done in 1995 when the city used merit promotions to promotions to lieutenant, and similar to the literature review that the city used when it used merit promotions to the position of detective. It didn't rely on any new science, any breakthrough in technology. It had looked at the literature and said, merit promotions are equally valid to test score promotions. The district just said, I'm not going to consider that because it happened after this, and under an analogy to Rule 407 of the Federal Rules of Evidence, that would be improper. We argue in our brief that that's a misapplication of Rule 407. The district judge also said that we had no evidence that merit promotions would have been equally valid or would have been less discriminatory, and we pointed out that whenever merit promotions have been used, in the city of Chicago, they've shown what the city conceded in the first appeal throughout the trial, that as a group, minority police officers are as qualified to be promoted to sergeant as white police officers. But the city had this testing process which held back the minority officers and promoted the white officers at a much different rate. And that doesn't happen when merit promotions are used. There have been two other appeals involving merit promotions. Those were not about whether merit promotions were equally valid. Those are whether or not the plaintiffs had shown that merit promotions at a rate over 30% would have been equally valid, and the court said no. This case is about whether the mere use of merit promotions, we presented a tribal question of fact about using them, and we did. And the case should be reversed and sent back.
I have a couple questions. In order to succeed, do you have to show that the city could have known that your proposed alternative would be effective at the time of the suit?
Well, I'm not sure if that's actually... I think the court actually rejected that legal argument when it was before the court in another case, another one of these promotion cases. But putting that aside, in 1995, when the results of the lieutenant's test came out, the city had its people study that, and that study, which took about 3 weeks, said merit promotions to lieutenant will be equally valid as test score promotions, and we should adopt those. 8 days later, the superintendent of Chicago Police Department said, we're going to do it. We're going to have merit promotions. The city, and then in 1997, there was a Blue Ribbon report which said that we should make 30% of the promotions to sergeant based on merit promotions. And then February 22nd, which is, well, much longer than the time it took to put together the lieutenant merit promotions, the city said, we're not going to implement this. We're going to used test score promotion. So the city did know about it and it had been called to their attention. They just refused to do it.
Well, what about the distinction the district court made in terms of those kinds of positions versus sergeant's promotions? Because that's part, as I understand it, why the district court rejected that testimony,
well,
right? Didn't admit that testimony?
Well, but...
Was
but
it admitted or just rejected by the district court?
I'm not sure. He refused to consider it. But that argument was not at all considered or was afforded no weight by the city's expert in 1998 who said, we're going to use merit promotions based on a literature review, that merit promotions will work just as well. I mean, that's an argument made by counsel that was never anybody who's a psychometrician or a social psychologist or a testing expert said, oh, well, we don't know. We have to do an experiment. There's never been an experiment. They're just reading the literature and saying, yeah, test scores are equally valid to merit promotions, and now we can do it, and then we couldn't do it. Back in the first appeal, the city said, we can't use merit promotions because the Illinois courts have said we can't vary the procedure from what the test announcement was. That's the McArdle decision. And this court affirmed the district court rejection of that in the lieutenant's case in the Brown versus Chicago. And the district court up here is Bryant versus Chicago. I think that's the reason why the city didn't want to do it, but that's not a defense to Title VII. That's basically an admission of liability.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Flaxman. How do you respond to the city's argument that employers will be deterred from implementing less discriminatory alternatives if we allow subsequent remedial measures to be introduced as evidence in this kind of case?
Well, it's not a subsequent remedial measure. It's complying with Title VII, which they should have done back in 1995. They knew about merit promotions. They knew that they existed. They knew that they were less discriminatory, but because of political considerations, which the court referred to in the first appeal, the city didn't want to bear the weight of being criticized for following federal law and holding back the white officers who go out and vote for people. This is not a remedial measure. This is complying with the law. The city should have done it like they did with lieutenants and didn't do it here.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you.
Ms. Layton?
May it please the court. Your Honors, the past decade of litigation in this case boils down to 75 sergeant promotions that the city made in February 1997. The only issue remaining is whether, in response to the city's summary judgment motion, the plaintiffs came forward with sufficient evidence on each of the three issues they are required to prove in a Title VII disparate impact case. First, was there an available alternative at the time that the city could have used to make the promotions in question? Second, was that alternative equally valid? And third, was it less discriminatory than the method used? In Allen, this court made quite clear that plaintiffs do not satisfy their burden of proof simply by pointing to a general selection method like merit that's been successful for different types of promotions and speculating that the same promotional method would be as successful for the promotions in question. Yet, the alternatives that the plaintiffs proposed fail to satisfy one or more of the three requirements and are no better than the evidence that this court rejected in Allen. And therefore, this court should affirm the summary judgment entered in favor of the city. Plaintiffs rely principally on three different alternatives: the D2 promotions, the 13 lieutenant promotions the city made in 1995, and the merit process the city developed after the fact to make sergeant promotions in 1998. With respect to the D2 promotions and the 95 lieutenant promotions, those promotional methods, there is no evidence that methods that were useful at selecting applicants who were qualified for D2 positions or for lieutenant positions would be equally valid to select sergeants. The plaintiffs concede that the positions are very different. D2 positions don't require supervisory ability. The sergeant position does. Lieutenant positions, there already has been a track record of candidates' supervisory ability. So the fact that we had a merit process that we could, that asked the right questions in order to select candidates who would successfully fill D2 positions and lieutenant positions is not evidence, as this court held in Allen, that that same process would serve equally well to make promotions to sergeant.
Well, let me ask you this. You're claiming that the possibility of 30% promotions wasn't available in 1997 because the city hadn't completed its research into the effectiveness of this alternative. Are you saying then that in disparate impact cases, an alternative isn't available until a defendant completes its own research into the effectiveness of the alternative?
I'm saying you're
not available for consideration by the court, by the district court?
I'm saying that the relevant Title VII analysis asked what was available to the employer at the time and not what was available to the district court or what was available after the fact. The question is, we had a...
That alternative was available.
That the alternative...
At that percentage, I understand you're making a distinction between the detectives and the lieutenants, but mm-hmm. that 30% alternative was available.
That 30%...
Because the city had applied it before.
Well,
I understand with a different group.
Well, what was available to what the city knew in February 1997 is that 1 month before, a task force that we had asked to examine our promotional practices because we were concerned about the adverse impact of the exam, the task force recommended that we develop a merit process that was specifically tied to the sergeant position. The other merit processes we'd used to date were not. They were for different positions. So what we did is we took that recommendation and ran with it. And we spent the next 19 months analyzing the sergeant position to make sure that we knew exactly what the requirements of the position were, and then identifying the relevant merit criteria that nominators could use and linking those to the actual requirements of the job at issue to ensure that when the nominators made their recommendations, they would be looking at the criteria that's relevant for the sergeant position. And then our consultant trained the nominators to ensure that they would avoid the biases and the assessment errors that are all too frequent a criticism for subjective processes like merit. We wanted to make sure that they were going to be selecting people fairly and specifically for the job in question. But all we had at the time of these February 97 promotions was that recommendation that we do this process. And in theory, we could have made 30% merit promotions, but there was no merit process that existed yet. And so we developed that process.
So you're saying that the alternative would have to be very specific, everything would have to be nailed down before that would be something considered by the court as being available.
I'm saying that it's the plaintiff's burden to come forward with evidence that there was an alternative that would have been equally valid, and their suggestion of generally merit would work is not a specific alternative that's equally valid to the process that we had in place already for the exam. Merit is just a general process. It's like saying a written test could have been used. We don't know what the written test is only as good as the questions that it asks and tying those questions to the specific position in question. So merit, we have to make sure that it asks the right questions to make sure we get accurate results. And it was the plaintiff's burden to show that what was already out there asked the right questions for the sergeant position. They didn't have that evidence. And the process that we later developed that did ask the right questions wasn't yet available because only a month before had the recommendation come out that we developed that process.
And do you have any authority, because you're saying that all those procedures developed afterwards shouldn't have been considered at all by the district court, and the district court properly ruled not to consider that. And so do you have any cases that characterize in a disparate impact suit practices that occur after as a subsequent remedial measures?
No, Your Honor, I don't have any specific cases that characterize it as a subsequent remedial measure other than the district court cases that we cite. Not this, and those aren't in this particular context talking about I mean, those are in similar discrimination contexts. I mean, they're employment cases as well. But our point is not that. Our point is that it's the actual framework of the Title VII inquiry that makes those subsequent promotions irrelevant. Because in Allen, this court held one of the required elements is that the alternative be available. And by definition, a process that's developed after the fact isn't available at the time. And so I would say the 407 issue is really a red herring in this case. It's whether or not the district court should have or should not have considered the 1998 promotions as evidence. It's simply not relevant to the inquiry that this court has to undertake.
Well, how do you distinguish in that Christner case, that Sixth Circuit case, which sent the case back to the district court for consideration of whether the plaintiff met the burden of proving a viable alternative in this auto company case? You know, why shouldn't Christner apply?
I would say that this court should not follow Christner to the extent that it doesn't apply the Title VII, the appropriate Title VII disparate impact analysis, which asks, as this court held in Allen, was there an available alternative at the time in question? Because ultimately the city has to make promotions somehow. We have a police department to run, and public safety is at stake. And so unless there's an alternative that exists, we're entitled to use what the plaintiffs concede to be an examination that was job-related and that was consistent with our business needs to make our promotions. If there is no evidence that a better alternative existed at that time, then we were entitled to use our examination, which was job-related and was consistent with our business needs, in order to make the promotions in February 1997. So if Christner is different from that analysis, then we would suggest that this court is under no obligation to follow a Sixth Circuit decision that is not applying the appropriate Title VII disparate impact analysis. So, in short, the plaintiffs had the burden to come forward with the evidence that there was an alternative available to the city that would have been equally valid and that would have produced less discriminatory results. The evidence that they rely on falls short under this court's decision in Allen, among others, and for these reasons, we respectfully request that this court affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Layton. Mr. Flaxman.
I'd just like to reiterate that Allen was a case where we were arguing that more than 30% should have been merit, not that there should have been some merit rather than no merit, as this case is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaxman. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.